Our opening prayer is a prayer for faith, hope, and love from the Netherlands. Let us pray. Let us pray for faith, that it will be the fruit of right hearing. Let us pray for hope, that it will be the fruit of a living faith. Let us pray for love, that she is the fruit of a living faith and hope. Let us recognize one another in deeds of faith, hope, and above all, through love. Amen. I love mountaintop experiences. Don't you? I mean, you've had them in your life, right? There's some that are extraordinary. And some happen in the midst of ordinary days. You just have that feeling. This is one of those days. This is a mountaintop experience. Maybe the party at the Franks' house last night was a mountaintop experience, for example. And bear with me today, because it's been a little over 7 years. And you know what they say? I think I read somewhere, you biologists, Lisa, you'll know. Don't your cells sort of turn over every 7 years? All right. All the same to me, obviously. Okay, the biologist here is saying yes, that's right. So we're at that mark, you know? And it's time to take stock. Rosemary, take the stopwatch off again. When I think back to this seven-year journey, I'm flooded with myriad memories of mountaintop highs here. How about that moment when we formally began together? You know, remember that time, that Sunday in December of 12? We were all gearing up for that big day of my installation here. And guess what happened? The blower went out on the organ. The organ's been around since what, 1907 or something? Six. And it decided on that week to go out. And Eric was frantic, you know. We were all kind of frantic because everybody and his uncle was coming and we had no organ. And we had offers. We had offers from all over Poughkeepsie. Oh, come and use our church. Use our organ. No way were we leaving First Lutheran on that Sunday. So Eric went into high gear. That was a mountaintop experience for me because all of a sudden I realized, wow, he's cultivated all these relationships in the music community. And they came from the highways and the byways. We had brass. We had vocalists. We had people coming from the other choirs from the other church in order to make a joyful noise in this place on that day. Christine Howlett, you know, who leads all of the choral stuff over at Vassar, she came and sang soprano for us. What a gift. We hardly missed that organ. It was a mountaintop experience. And for me, I have to say that was a sign for more to come. God makes a way forward where we may be tempted from our very human vantage points to only see walls and barriers. And I can't begin to list all of the mountaintop experiences here, but I'm going to try to give you a big selection of those, so bear with me. How about when the roof was seriously leaking within my first 6 months here? I mean, that was a big deal. It was not only leaking and causing damage in general, but it was also leaking down in between the bricks on either side of our walls here. That had to be fixed. And we didn't have that money. We had enough money to have one pastor full-time for 1 year. We're 7.5 years down the road, folks. There's still money in the bank. We're still here. We have a new roof. Synod came through. You came through. Bill Rohde came through. And that was an important relationship because that friendship that just deepened over the years enabled us to call upon him when we were in big trouble last year. And our walls were bowing, and we didn't even know if we'd have this holy place in our future. But our friend stepped up and resolved that serious crisis, existential crisis for this community, by saying, I've got gifts, I'll work my networks, we'll figure this out. And lo, look at those things. I could kiss them every Sunday. Because they mean we have 100 more years in this place if God chooses that we be here for another 100 years. Talk about a mountaintop experience. That was another one. Or how about the day that I was invited over to St. Martin's to meet the other people in town, the ecumenical committee that they host there. And that very first meeting, I met Maureen Lashley. And we hit it off, and I heard her saying, you know, we're sort of in temporary quarters in Wappingers. We really need to be in North Poughkeepsie. And guess what? Look at that relationship. Look at the blessings that have flowed, there, we're getting there. From that relationship, just think for a minute. Two faith builds we've done together. Hands-on cooperation, hammers and paintbrushes and lunch preps and prayer support and meetings here in the world's biggest Lutheran potluck that was extended to the entire community. 400 in here, I don't know, we did that, what, 2-3 years? And Nancy, now a fixture over at Restore, and even better, we got our own staff person over there in Robin Frank. And the bold, bold plans to say, yeah, we're going to go way out on a limb, because if we open a Restore, our chances of having revenues to build more houses and repair more houses in this community will be greater. So we took a big gulp and we jumped. And part of the reason why that board jumped is because they had a home here and a congregation that was praying for them, and we went for it. And 7,000 square feet exploded into 20,000 square feet this last year. If that isn't a transfiguration, I don't know what is. If that isn't a mountaintop experience, I don't know what is. If every projection comes true, we will have something like $1.6 million to plow back in, probably at least a million to plow into housing, as opposed to just barely making it every year, and it's coming along. God has been good to us. We stepped up on our connections these last 7 years with the wider community, the ecumenical and interfaith communities. We've been involved in prophetic witnessing. We've connected with the Hudson Conference and the Metro New York Synod. None of that was going on 7 years ago, folks. And now we're at the heart. They tell our story in the e-blast from the Metro New York Synod. You're small, but God's been gracious, and we've been mighty. Family Fun Day. Shirley said, sure, I'll take that on. Wow. Cain and Abel Sunday. And that was all about getting Eunice to use a cane and a walker, let's face it. But it's helped. It's helped. Because not only were we able to do it for ourselves and our own people, we were able to transport it to the Lutheran Care Center. And some of you were here to tie ribbons on those walkers and those wheelchairs, and to bless them and to help us all remember that however differently abled we are in our minds or our bodies or our spirits, that we are loved by God and we need each other in order to go on. So, you know, that was something. And what else? The Lutheran Care Center partner. You know, we had a very close partnership when I was dividing time between the two, but it's gone on. Adele isn't here today, but Adele just stepped right up at that point and said, that's all right, I'll take the lead. She's there every Wednesday and every Sunday as a worship aide and telling us what needs doing. And then, of course, Nancy and all of you, and especially Racy, have managed to put together all these incredible baskets of food, 82 of them this last year, and some to Lutheran Care. Because of our relationship, there was a trust, so that confidentiality was such that they were able to say, we've got some people in real need here. Can you help us? And we were able to help. Worship Respite Care, may it rest in peace. That was a huge undertaking. Nancy and Beth are quaking when I mention it. But you know what? God allowed us not only to operate it and to make a difference for some people like Alice and Hans in our midst, but 12 congregational partners planned for 3 years. Their representatives went through training after training to become experts on caring for the caregivers and on Alzheimer's and dementia. And they went back to their congregations at the end of that project, and they are there as the radar for all caregivers in their midst, and they now know what to do if they go missing. So that was an ongoing gift we gave to 12 different congregations. Remember when the Muslim community was feeling under fire and threatened? Who threw open their doors and welcomed them in for another potluck at the last minute with all the community volunteers? But I don't know, we had 300 there that night, and I would say at least 200 of them were Muslim. We had prayers being said in our music room that evening as the sun went down. And our Jewish friends, more recently, Pete and Nancy and I were over at Temple Emmanuel because, of course, anti-Semitism is rearing its ugly head again right here in our community and right nearby. We're there. We turn up. We're present. Our light is shining. We formed partnerships and strong bonds with musicians through Lunch and Listen for 34 years. And the most beautiful part of that, you know, that transfiguration, is that we've got business people from this area. We have friends of the musicians. We have our members. And then we've got half of the congregation that gathers are people who are differently abled from day programs. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful to see our doors open and welcome in such an eclectic group of people who appreciate that gift of music. And so we have done amazing things in 7 years because God has transformed our fears. The disciples were afraid. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. Maybe we were afraid. There is no fear in this place anymore. God has taken that fear and thrown it out the window. And so we trot off to pubs and microbreweries, and we just come in with our sign that's on that that thing that you've put together, Beth. Looks like a large toilet roll. It says First Lutheran, and somebody giggled the other night and said, that's about our style. And everybody knows us. They say, oh, here comes First Lutheran. And they know that we are there in a spirit of fun and in a spirit of love. And we collect our concerns in the course of the evening. We do that at breakfast on Thursdays. We do that at Blanket Sewers on Mondays. We got these great groups, and we can always test each other out on new ideas or find out what the prayer needs are and care for each other and laugh with each other and celebrate. We had Bible study in a Chinese restaurant, for heaven's sakes. We had Rabbi Leah come over with her portable Torah and read us from the Torah in Hebrew in a Chinese restaurant, didn't we? Who does that? We do that. Why? Because this is a transfigured congregation. We have faith to say yes. We said yes to Spoke. And Bill stepped up. He stepped up, and he stuck with it. And who's his buddy, his partner? A Jewish chemistry professor from Marist, for goodness sakes. It just goes on and on and on. And Repair Cafe, the Quaker, said, you have location, location, location. Can we do that together with you? And Nancy stepped up. And all the rest of you who come in here and do those repairs and enjoy those times. It's amazing. I hear from strangers on the street about Repair Cafe. I don't take that news back to you enough, Nancy, but it's amazing. We're known for Repair Cafe. And now we're about to inaugurate a Jazz Vespers pilot project. It may work, it may not, but we're going to see what God will do with that because there's a need. And we became a Reconciling in Christ congregation, long overdue, because that's part of who we are as the whole body of Christ. These are all mountaintop experiences. And it's worthwhile to repeat this litany and remember how much God has done with us in this place, in this holy place, because we understand that we're loved, we're precious, we're forgiven, we are transformed children of God. This is Transfiguration Sunday. And we love this Sunday because we combine those themes of transfiguration with the spirit of Mardi Gras in anticipation of what? The season of Lent. The time when we get a little bit more somber and reflective about what Christ has done for us. And this Sunday, when we get a little wild and crazy and start swinging our necklaces, we should have some humility about what God has done with us. Who knew? We hear in our gospel lesson today how Jesus took Peter and James and John and went up that mountain to pray, according to Luke's version of the story, and how Jesus' appearance of his face changed. And suddenly, the prophets of old, these prophets, Moses and Elijah, appear in glory, and Peter and James and John are completely overwhelmed by what they're seeing. And Peter, who can't help himself, I always identify with Peter because it's always open mouth, insert foot with Peter. He decides, okay, this is great, this is great. Let's just build, summer cabins up here on the mountain and stay forever. Let's do that. But in the moment, the cloud overshadows them, and they hear this voice coming out of the cloud saying, "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Now, what's exactly going on here? How are we to understand what's happening, and what does it mean for us today? Well, I think the presence of Moses and Elijah and Jesus on that mountaintop confirms that Jesus is the continuity with the ancient faith story of his people. That's why we had Rabbi Leah come to Bible study, because she reminds us we come from the same stream, this ancient faith story of God's people that Jesus is the fulfillment of. Jesus embodies the new Exodus, leading all God's people out of the slavery of sin and death and home to their promised inheritance of the forgiveness of sins and eternal life and the gift of God's Spirit, which sets us free from fear. Right, folks? We know what it feels like to be just set free of fear. Fear from our inadequacies. Fear that transforms us in the power of God's Spirit to go out and be God's presence of love and healing in a broken world. We do not hide out on the mountaintop in custom-built cabins away from the suffering of the world. We do not speak the words of the gospel on a Sunday morning and then place the whole business of our faith on hold for the next 6 days of the week. We pray together that God would get off the page of Scripture and help us in this world, and we offer ourselves to help God help this world. The prayer that Walter Brueggemann, one of my favorite theologians, has prayed is this: "You, majestic sovereign, move off the page. Move off the page of our Bibles to the world. Move off the page to the trouble. Move out of your paged leisure to the turmoil of your creatures. Move to the peace negotiations and cancer diagnoses and burning churches and mosques and synagogues and racial disparity and political divides and abused children. Listen to the groans and moans and see and hear and know and remember, and God, come down here." The message from God out of the clouds on that mountaintop is not directed at Jesus this time, as in his baptism, but towards us. "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." You all listen to him. Pay attention. Not just to what Jesus says, but to what Jesus does. The disciples are confused and afraid. We get that way, don't we? We look at the budget and we go, I don't know. Should we be trying for jazz vespers? I don't know. Now watch carefully what Jesus does with fear and confusion. The Bible says, Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." Touch them. We're human beings. We know what touch means. We know what that feels like. And Jesus knows that we need each other to touch each other. In this place, we know how to do that because God has taught us how to do that. And then all of a sudden, Jesus is coming down the mountain back into reality and bringing the disciples with him. And in Luke's version of the Transfiguration, what I love is that it continues. And right afterwards, we get this story of another father whose only beloved son is seized with a terrible demon that convulses him and makes his life a living hell. And this father begs Jesus for mercy and healing. And Jesus rebukes the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. and all were astounded at the greatness of God. We come down the mountain. What does Jesus do? He touches. He heals. He's present too. Living our faith in Jesus Christ isn't about mountaintop experiences. It's about what happens in the chaos of our lives and of our communities. What we do about that chaos. How we engage with others in a transfiguration of the chaos into the hope and healing of God's love alive and at work in our world. And this is what the Epiphany season has been all about. Reminding us of how we are being called to let our lights shine in the darkness of real life. God does not ever let us down. How amazing is that? May the day dawn and the morning star rise in your hearts out of gratitude for all that God has done for you, for me, for us together in these past 7 years. And may God continue to bless us. Amen. 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 Amen.